It is card subject to change, and you know what that means. Yeah, the boys are back, and we're ready to go. We've got a whole fun show planned for you. We are running down the Bloodline storyline straight from the beginning. We're calling it the Bloodline Biopsy.
And yeah.
Here to kick things off with us, Nick Bull, how are you, my friend?
The Honorable One is doing fine. How about you? Yeah.
Yeah, we're doing pretty good. Stripes here, how are you doing, my friend?
I am doing wonderful, gentlemen. We're on the kick.
If you can't tell, we've been talking a little LA Night before the show. Yeah,
I don't know. In 2 weeks, we're doing a show strictly about the promos. Tonight's about the Bloodline, but man, we're really going to get after it tonight. Yeah, with the LA Night. Yeah, it's contagious in our pre-show, production meeting. But we're glad to have you along with us here on the Card Subject Change podcast. I am the Honorable One, Nick Bull. Of course, joining me is the Wizard CD and Stripes, Chris Angle. We're all on board tonight to discuss all things Bloodline, the hottest thing in wrestling today. And just doing a little bit of homework this week. Yeah. Did not think this would be the hottest thing in the world, or that Sami Zayn would be one of the most talked about wrestlers in the world when I was doing a little bit of homework watching WrestleMania 37. Yeah. Sami Zayn and KO have a match on that card. And it's kind of like the last iteration kind of Sammy before he joined the Bloodline. I know he had another full year yet, but that
hell,
was kind
you
of
look
him
back
as the
even
conspiracy
just a year ago. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've been doing a little bit of homework. I went back a couple of years, but you even looking back 2 years ago to the Elimination Chamber, Sami Zayn was in full effect in his conspiracy theory. He was he was in the Elimination Chamber that year. We're going to talk about that a little bit. We're going to talk everything from the beginning, from Roman coming back all the way up until Sammy getting his butt kicked just a week ago.
I guess before we start the Bloodline biopsy, maybe I should ask you guys both a question. You guys signed the release forms, right? No, I'm just kidding. What?
I signed right on the dotted line.
Yeah.
What moment, I guess you can think about it now, and maybe answer it throughout the show. What moment in this storyline, whatnot, did they have you completely and they haven't lost you since? Like, I'm in now and there's no going back.
That's really tough because there've been, I can think of a number of moments that really drew me in. The most recent one has to be just before Survivor Series War Games. I went all in completely at that point with the promo that one of the best promos in recent memory, when Sammy was just doing his damnedest to crack everybody up, talking about Jay not feeling Usy.
Okay.
That was the top of my head.
Yeah, I remember that. I do remember when that happened. I think you called me and said, hey, you got to go out of your way to go back and watch SmackDown and listen to what he had to say. Yeah, you're right. Angle, you got your answer?
Man, I hate to sound like a broken record, but yeah, I think that's going to be the spot where it was for me because – I mean, I've always looked at Sami Zayn as, you know, kind of a key player in the WWE, but I think this just solidifies him as a key player just because he goes out there and shows not only he can be good on the mic, not only he can be good in the ring, but he also can break those boys like nobody's business. I mean, getting them to break kayfabe is a hard thing to do, because I mean, let's face it, these guys are professionals, and they're told and taught to kind of be your character and be, you know, in that zone, and Sammy, he just he just keeps it going. He tries to get them to break character, and the biggest, I guess the biggest, you know, notch on his sleeve is when he broke Solo. For the first time I saw it, I think it was at a house show, and you know, I don't know if he's broke him since, you know.
And I mean, obviously the focus isn't just on Sami Zayn's time in the Bloodline. We're going all the way back to the beginning, but you really had to stand up and pay attention when Roman won both titles last year at WrestleMania.
I really think so. That's, to me, that's kind of when they said, all right, we're making a move with this and we're going to keep this thing alive. And to their credit, it's done nothing but gain momentum. I think it's been universally accepted as just this great thing that's going on. I'm talking about the Bloodline storyline, and whether you're all in on any of the participants or not, it's intriguing. My moment that got me, and I know CZ reviewed the match, is when Sammy stops the three count in the War Games match. That for me was like, oh man, this cannot get any better, but it has. It's gotten. That was the moment for me that hooked me. That brought me out of my seat when Sammy prevented the three count by holding the ref's arm and shoulder back. That to me was like, okay, I'm in. What's next? I was all in at that point.
And the thing about that is that it was an unconventional way to stop the referee from counting to the three count. You normally see wrestlers attack the referee or pull the referee's leg. You don't normally see a wrestler grab the referee's arm and prevent him from counting the three. It was so unconventional. That's why I think it was so special that evening.
Well, that begs the question, when was the last time you saw something like that before, where the referee's hand was just grabbed and stopped? I can't remember a time where that's happened before.
Well, I mean, you all get those 1, 2, 3, oh, near falls, right? But right. That to me, with just what everything that was involved and everything that was at stake, and the fact that he was willing to just leave his best friend just to be with the cool guys, you know, and do whatever it takes. And that, right, I just loved every part of that. And that's the moment. That was the moment for me. But there's been so many of those. Everybody that's been involved with this, there's been a lot of moving parts and pieces. And everybody that's been involved with it has been very well. But let's not forget, this started as just a two-person thing, did it not, CZ?
Yeah, well, the beginning was way back. Yeah. way back in, was it 2000? It was 2000, late 2000, during the COVID era, the Thunderdome era, God help us all, WWE.
Well,
where Roman's first title defense was against his cousin Jey Uso at Clash of Champions 2020. And really, that whole storyline with Jey was Roman trying to put him in his place, yep, and say what he's been saying all along: I'm the head of the table. I'm putting food on the table for our family.
And that's when we got main event Jey Uso.
Yep. Yeah.
And all this during the time Jimmy is off rehabbing, correct? Or is he on DUI?
I think he was off rehabbing, I believe.
I believe he was rehabbing as well.
Yeah.
And none of the other participants have been involved yet. It's just Roman and Paul at this point. And Jey, of course, main event Jey. And you want to know?
Don't forget that this is when Jey won the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, when he defeated the other guys, and the last two in the ring were Jey Uso and Shinsuke Nakamura. So that really solidified right there, main event Jey Uso.
It did. I'm anxious to see where things go now with what Jey is involved in with his storyline with Sammy, but we'll get there. I mean, plenty to talk about throughout.
I know we've kind of jumped the gun here. We've kind of jumped the gun, and I apologize. CZ, take us back to the beginning.
So when I went back a little bit after the beginning, there were a couple of matches between Roman and Jay for the title, one at Clash of Champions. They had a match at Hell in a Cell 2000. But what really started to draw me in was the feud with Kevin Owens at the end of 2020, the beginning of 2021. Three great matches right there. TLC, you had the tables, ladders, and chairs match where Jay gets involved and costs. Obviously, there's no disqualification in a TLC match, so Jay can get involved as much as he wants. That's what costs Kevin Owens the match. Roman mm-hmm. retains the title there. Great match on SmackDown, and I'd have to look up the date again. I don't remember the exact date of it, but it's worth going back. It's the opening match, if you can stomach watching the Thunderdome era with all the piped-in crowd noise.
Listen to me. I messaged you, but I wrote this down here. I've got Thunderdome PTSD. I wasn't ready for that yet.
I haven't gone back and watched anything from the Thunderdome era.
It's hard. It's really hard, and I'm not ripping the product. It's really, really hard, which to me just gives all the more credit in the world these guys and gals,
yeah,
who are performing, performing something where they're kind of playing off the crowd as well. I mean, I don't want to say kind of playing off the crowd. The crowd's a major part of every match, but when you don't have that. No, right yeah. there immediately, and you just got silence. I'm telling you, we can laugh at it now, but it was innovative. It's innovative for a time, and we needed it at that time. There's no doubt. Right. I mean, on the AEW side, it was, you know, wrestling in front of, you know, 50 people or whatever it was. But I'm glad we had it. But man, it is really, really hard to go back and watch stuff. Really hard.
Well, see, here's the thing with AEW. AEW at least had, you know, say 50 people. They didn't have a completely empty, basically, soundstage to where they didn't hear nothing. You know, whereas the WWE basically had that soundstage. And, you know, I've heard interviews where it was like, I could only imagine how hard it would have been because, you know, they're basically saying they don't know when to, you know, the comeback. They don't know when, you know, the crowds, you know, you're trying to feed the crowd in. It's just, yeah, I just can't imagine.
For a profession that is so based on the crowd and crowd mm-hmm. reaction, that had to be the hardest thing. And I want to make a little sidebar here. Kudos to Drew McIntyre, who was a two-time WWE champion during the Thunderdome era. He really carried the product in that time.
He was the two-time COVID champion.
Yeah. You know, I'd love to go back and talk about that, but this is not the time or place for that in particular, you know. And I think Drew's gotten a little less than a fair shake after that, being dropped down the card after holding the company through that era. But, you know, you look back at the Thunderdome era, Roman took a lot of time off. Roman's like, you know, I'm recovering from leukemia. I don't want to risk getting sick. I'm walking.
Right.
Well, I'm going to take some time off.
He essentially took a year off, if I'm not mistaken. He was not a part of WrestleMania 36, the COVID mania. That's why we got the Bill Goldberg Braun Strowman match.
Oh, gosh.
For that mania.
Goldberg. Goldberg.
Here we are talking about the Thunderdome, the COVID era. That's how long this has been going on, fellas. That's how long this storyline or this title reign's been going on. He won the title August 30th. I know CZ talked about a couple of the KO matches and how they weren't in front of the crowd. That Hell in a Cell match with Jay is when I kind of, you know, looked at these guys. I thought this is where Jay cemented the fact that he was a main event player. I mean, I know he was called main event Jay before, but the way that these guys, they're not, it's like they're having a dialogue. They're having a dialogue. They both know that the dialogue's going on during the match. They're both talking trash to each other during the match. But it's also, like, sincere. It's sad. And to me, it makes this match because there's no crowd. Right. Those guys talking, you go back and watch it, you really realize there's no crowd. I was kind of, you know, kind of like, man, this match is better than I thought it was because there's no crowd. And these guys are out there. I mean, they're in a Hell in a Cell with no crowd. I mean, how many more strikes do you want against you? You know, you without a crowd, you're in a title picture. It was the first match of the night, but regardless, these guys, Roman has taken many, many strides.
Yeah. Yes, he has.
But Jay, to me, has really, really been the one to step out of this one. We knew Sammy was a star before, but Jay was always a tag team star, right, CZ? I mean, he always had Jimmy around. They were always, they were always together. They would never be apart. They're brothers. They're a good tag team. There's no reason to. But when opportunity arose, when Jimmy was gone, Jay really, you know, grabbed the brass ball or brass ring and took the ball and ran with it.
And during that early time of the whole rise of the bloodline, Jay was a major factor in most of Roman's, if not all of Roman's matches. I was talking about the SmackDown match between Kevin Owens. It's a cage match. It started the show. And it had a very unique ending that, Nick, you and I talked off air yesterday or the day before. Huh? Jay handcuffs Kevin Owens.
Handcuffed debacle.
To the cage so that KO can't get out. I don't remember the last time that's happened in a cage match. I don't think that's ever happened in a cage match that I can recall. But obviously, I'd do some fact checking there. But that was a very unique ending to the match. You know, they had to go in a lot of different directions to make it unique and make it to draw the audience in. You know, the Thunderdome, as Michael Cole repeatedly points out during this era, is at Tropicana Field. The match between KO and Roman at the Royal Rumble of 2021, they went backstage to show there were like three or four practice rings set up. Roman ran KO over with a golf cart. And the match ended when KO took a dive off of an elevated forklift and missed.
Did he miss like Matt Hardy missed, or?
I just watched this and I'm trying to, you know, envision that.
You say forklift, I think of Matt Hardy just missing his spot off that forklift and like hitting his head on the concrete.
That's fair. No,
that's why I asked.
This was set up and incredibly safe.
I mean, someday down the road, we will be doing probably a COVID show about all the great stuff you missed during COVID.
Yeah, I'm sure we will.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely.
And that Roman Reigns KO match was one of them. I remember that.
And, you know, that led into a number of matches between him and Daniel Bryan. The most memorable, the Elimination Chamber of 2021. I remember that vividly. Adam Pearce came out and said Roman has to be in the Elimination Chamber. Paul Heyman counters that. Yeah, Roman has a contract to appear at Elimination Chamber, but not to defend his title inside the Elimination Chamber, which led to the opening match that had Daniel Bryan, Cesaro, Stripes Boy Baron Corbin.
Yeah.
Sami Zayn.
Yeah.
No.
Kevin Owens and Jey Uso. And the psychology there. You know, Bryan had his knee worked throughout the match, but ends up coming away with the win, only for Roman to come out as soon as the cage rises and just take him out completely. No need for Jay in that one, but Jay was just in a Hell in a Cell match, so what Correct. Use would he have been after going through, or not Hell in a Cell, Elimination Chamber?
Yeah.
Wouldn't have been much use, but Daniel Bryan had already gotten gotten worked over quite a bit in that previous match. But yeah, there was that year, you know, 37, WrestleMania 37.
Yep.
Bryan was in that main event picture as well. Before that was Fastlane of that year with Daniel Bryan versus Roman Reigns. Edge won the Royal Rumble that year. So he was destined to be at WrestleMania 37 in the title picture. But because Daniel Bryan did not get a fair shake in storyline from Roman Reigns, he was inserted into that in a triple threat.
And funny, we talk about a triple threat at a WrestleMania as a main event. Here we are possibly with 2 years later. Fellas, I hope they don't go down that road. I went back and watched the triple threat match from Mania. At the time, the triple threat didn't bother me, and it bode well. It bode well story and the styles, and the three guys really worked well together. But man, if you're going to do that and then do it again 2 years later, I just think it's a bad look. I really do.
Yeah, I mean, on one hand, I can see it as lazy booking, but as I said last week, the fans really are clamoring for Cody Rhodes, and they're also clamoring for Sami Zayn. So what else can, you know, WWE storytellers do than put them both in there?
Would the fans rather have? I'm going to ask you guys, would you rather have a triple threat of the three, night two, or would you rather have Cody on one of the nights, Sammy on the other night, or Sammy on the first night, Cody on the second night?
I would definitely say one on one night, one on the other night, but unfortunately, I'm hearing rumblings that they are going with Sammy and KO versus the Usos on the main event of night one, which I'm not a huge fan of, because I have a bad feeling that they're going to take the titles away from the Usos. And I think once Sammy and KO are done with that, I think Sammy's unfortunately going to get lost in the shuffle.
I hope you're wrong. I really do. And
I hope I'm wrong too.
My answer there, I agree with you, Stretch. I would rather see Sammy versus Roman on night one, Cody on night two. The way that I would play it out, and I know it's not going to go this way, but as strong as they have made the United States title on Monday Night Raw, Raw needs a world championship. I would find some way to force Roman to split the belts. Sammy going against him night one for the Universal Championship, to which Sammy loses, and Cody winning the WWE Championship on night two. That's how I would book it.
For SmackDown?
No. I'd have Cody win for Raw.
Sammy lose for SmackDown. Gotcha. Gotcha.
And that way, that keeps Sammy in the title picture on SmackDown going against Roman, because I don't think that story is going to be done at WrestleMania.
Unless, no, I don't think so either.
Unless KO and Sammy take the belts away from the Usos, and then where do you go? I think, unfortunately, as much as I hate to say it, WWE has booked themselves into a corner. Nick and I have talked about that, I know. But, yeah. Where do you go from here? I don't know. I think they booked themselves into a corner. I think they're going to work it into a triple threat with Cody and Roman. And I hate to say that, because I don't want to see it. You guys don't want to see it. But the way that they booked things, I don't know that it can go any other way.
Could you imagine having tickets to WrestleMania night one and you probably won't see the biggest match on the card?
No.
You won't see a men's champ. You won't see a men's world championship title defense on the card. It's not a good look. I thought by now they would have found a way to get the belt divided in some way and make him defend them separately or something. Right. But man,
I think what they're going to do to kind of subsidize that is they're going to put Logan Paul and Seth Rollins on night one at kind of as your, I don't think it'll be the main event, but I think it'll be the big drawing point for night one.
And I think we should take a break here, fellas, but let me ask you that. Let me point something out here. We're talking about the main events being all men for both nights one and night two. You've suggested, Stripes, that it's going to be Sammy and KO versus the Usos. We've also had the suggestion of Logan Paul, Seth Rollins. Where does Rhea Ripley, who won the Royal Rumble and quote-unquote gets the main event spotlight against Charlotte at WrestleMania, where does that fall?
That's probably your main event of night one. I mean, they've main evented with the ladies before.
They have, but have they booked themselves to where that's going to fall to the wayside and get into somewhere in the middle of the card on night one?
I don't think they've promoted that match enough to where it could be the main event of night one.
My point.
It hasn't been the focal point of their booking for quite a while. So I think it's going to really be lower on down the card. Right. It is a shame. It very well could be the main event if they had made it out in the forefront more than they have.
And you know, we're getting sidetracked here. We're talking about WrestleMania this year, which is a good thing.
You're in the right place. You're in the right place if you get sidetracked, I promise you.
We're gonna take a quick break and we're gonna get back on track and talk more Bloodline and our Bloodline biopsy here. We'll be back in just a moment.
Card Subject to Change is looking for dedicated sponsors. If you or your business would like to join the Card Subject to Change podcast, hit us up at our official podcast email, cstcpodcast2022@gmail.com.
Welcome back to Card Subject to Change. Thank you for listening. I am the Wizard CZ. Here with me are my trio's partner, Chris Stripes Angle, and the Honorable Nick Bull.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, we're talking, we've been talking about WrestleMania this year. We've talked about the early days of Roman Reigns and his rise to power in the WWE and the start of the Bloodline. Let's continue down that trail here. Let's talk more Bloodline because we've got plenty to talk about. You know, even just if we focus, excuse me, sorry about that. I hit the cough button there. Even if we just focus on the Sami Zayn era of the Bloodline, we've got plenty to talk about for the next little bit here.
Yeah.
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 I mean, let's dive into Sammy's entrance into the Bloodline. So coming out of last year's WrestleMania, Sammy was still doing the conspiracy theory shtick. He was calling himself a locker room leader, and he really came into the Bloodline as a rat.
And I'm kind of upset that the documentary never came out. Because he was touting that, oh, I'm gonna release it. Hey, and I legit thought he was.
Maybe he will. Maybe he's gonna release it on the road to WrestleMania.
That would be tremendous. I mean, I would watch it. Like I was invested in it. I was like, this is gonna be a great documentary. This is gonna be mind-boggling, but nope, he never released it.
I would be watching that as well, right along with you, Stripes. I think that's great. I wish they had released it, but Sammy got away from the conspiracy theorist as he started weaseling his way into Roman's good graces. Just a couple of things, for instance, how Sammy got in. You know, he hears, he's got a match against Drew McIntyre. And this is the first start. Sammy kind of proposes that Roman send help against Drew for Sammy, and Sammy will help him keep the locker room in line and not talk bad about Roman Reigns. And to my recollection, that happened. Roman sent out the Usos during Sami Zayn's match with Drew McIntyre. You know, we go a week later, and Sammy says he overhears Shinsuke Nakamura talking bad about the bloodline and offers to help out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and obviously you've got the Usos, who Jay, from the beginning, is like, what are you doing, fool? You're not our blood. Get out of here. Leave. You know, that's just putting it, you know, in layman's terms there, but Sammy is doing everything in his power to weasel his way in with Roman Reigns and the bloodline. What do you guys think about how Sammy started his way into the group?
Almost kind of like that annoying kid or that stray animal that won't go away, right? It's kind of what it felt like at first. And then, like, with Sammy's kind of attire, that's, you kind of felt sorry for Sammy, didn't you?
I mean, you kind of did. I kind of likened it to kind of back in high school when, you know, you saw the little nerdy kid, you know, trying to hang out with the jocks and you know how it's going to end,
right?
Yep. And, you know, you see him dressing like them, and then you see, you know, him kind of, you know, slowly trying to talk like them and act like them. And you're just like, man, he's going to get crushed in the end. It's just like, you kind of feel sorry for him again. Yeah.
Those early days when Sammy is throwing up the one with Jimmy and Jay.
Yeah. Yep.
It's just like, it, you're right. It's like that nerdy kid in high school who doesn't fit in, but here he is walking around with the cool kids.
And then my favorite, like I said, you know, my favorite, like I said earlier, what drew me in was when Sammy was trying to make everybody break. And I think, again, you know, their show, Sammy, you know, he was trying to make, you know, Jay his buddy, and Jimmy was the one that originally, am I saying that correctly? Jimmy was the one that originally, you know, befriended him, right? Okay. Yes. Okay.
Yep. Jimmy befriended him. Jay was the last one to, quote unquote, acknowledge him and take him in as a family member.
And then fast forward to the end, or I shouldn't even say the end, you know, present, Jay was the one, he's backing Sammy and he's, you know, going to bat for Sammy. It's just like, you really didn't see that coming. You would thought Jimmy would have been the one to kind of have Sammy's back, and but no, WWE completely, you know, flipped the script.
Jimmy was the first one to jump him after that moment.
Yeah,
right.
You know, you talk about fast forwarding. Just this past Friday on SmackDown, Jimmy came out hoping to confront his brother about where he stands. Sammy comes into the ring and is like, "What happened? You were the one who supported me from the beginning. And yet you were the first one to attack me." And, you know, Jimmy was like, you made the choice. You had the chair. You decided to hit Roman. This is your fault. But yeah, Jimmy was his biggest supporter until Solo came in. And then him and Solo, although Solo, has he said a word since he's been brought up to the main roster?
He doesn't. Remember when Solo debuted? The Solo debut was at Clash at the Castle. And
that was
out of nowhere because there were no Usos on the card. So they didn't make the flight.
Jimmy and Jay couldn't make the flight because of visa issues, if I remember right.
Yep.
So it was like, oh man, what's going to happen? You know, Drew's going to win. He's in his home country. But.
Mm-hmm.
And they bring Solo in. So this Bloodline storyline, it's not just about whoever Roman's defending the belt against. There's different offshoots of it. How are those tag belts going to be dealt with right now?
It's so intricate.
Are they going to, you know, is Jay going to tell his brother, I'm done? You know, right. I don't know. I don't know. And I'm with you. I'm with you, Stripes. I feel if KO and Sammy win them, they get the feel-good moment, but in a couple months, it's going to be over. I just don't see that.
It's going to lead to the bridge to nowhere. You know what I mean? Like you said, they're going to have that feel-good moment, and then where do you go from there? I mean, do you put them up against the New Day? I mean, yeah, Sammy and Kevin are really good friends, and they've, you know, known each other for ever. But when you think of Sammy and Kevin, you don't think of tag team wrestling.
Riddle me this. You're right. You don't think of tag team wrestling. You think of two great single stars that could potentially be WWE champions.
Right.
Vince never gave a crap about tag team wrestling. What if Triple H is going to turn this tag division around like he has the optics of the IC belt and the US belt, and how they kind of have a higher, you know, they're kind of respected more than they have been in recent years. Maybe they're going to put together a legit tag division.
I could see that, but then again, it's like, how do you do that? You know what I mean? Like, if you put two random people together, that's not gonna matter to the tag division. You know what I mean? It's almost like when you put Kane and X-Pac together, it's like, why? You know what I mean?
Yeah, but they had a great tag team match at like SummerSlam 99 against Undertaker and Big Show.
Again, another tag team that just got thrown together.
Like, I agree. I like uniformity in tag team. I do.
I think the three of us have talked about this on air before, but I would like to see, in a perfect world, Jimmy and Jay lose the belts to a legit tag team, not two people who are single stars thrown together.
Like Imperium.
Yeah, Imperium, the Street Profits, the New Day, Alpha Academy.
FTR.
Yeah. But my thing is, I would love to see them drop them to a legit tag team that hasn't been like multi-time champions. Give it to someone that hasn't had a shot at, you know, Imperium, FTR, if they came back, you know, the Alpha Academy, they haven't had the tag titles. Give it to somebody that, you know, could deserve that rub, that, you know, that rocket strapped to them.
Well, I see what you mean. I see what you mean. And that's, you want, when they lose, you want it to mean something. And that's the same way I feel about the Roman Reigns thing. I want it to mean something when he loses.
I agree.
Because they're this far into it.
And that's how
I personally think he's leaving WrestleMania with the titles. I think he's walking out of WrestleMania still the champion.
No, I don't think so. I think this is, now this is me personally. I think that Cody is going to win them, and you're going to see on Monday, you know, basically Cody stay in the ring. You deserve it. You deserve it for 10 minutes, and they're not going to be able to get a word out. And I mean, it's a feel good moment again. You know, that's what, you know, that what you want to see when Cody is coming back from an injury. That's what the WWE universe wants to see. They want to see Cody win it. I would absolutely love for them to flip the script and maybe give it to Sammy if they did indeed go with a triple threat and completely just shock everybody.
And if they give it to Cody, if they pull the trigger on Cody now, where does he go? The only established heel, in my opinion, that can compete with Cody if he has the title is Roman. They don't. They've spent so much time building up Roman Reigns and the Bloodline.
Yeah,
I don't think they legit have anyone else that would fit in that picture against Cody.
And I mean, they've already done Cody, Seth, and like I've stated before, Seth Rollins doesn't need a title in the hunt to mean something.
No.
So, and that's evident with, you know, with, you know, Logan Paul. So
the only way that I would do Cody, Seth again is if Seth had the title, was playing the heel, and Cody was chasing. That is the only way to do that storyline now after Seth Rollins lost to him three times last year, once with Cody essentially only having one arm.
I mean, there's a guy out there that hasn't faced Roman Reigns yet. Whether it be through storyline, injury, or whatnot, but he's rumored to be coming back soon.
I swear to God, if you say Baron Corbin, I'm logging off. I am ending this conversation right now.
I'm talking about one Randy Orton.
Yeah, I mean, I could definitely see that. I mean, he is, like you said, he is rumored to be coming back.
If Roman's reign as champion ends, I want it to be historical. And isn't Orton's next win, does it give him 15 or 16?
15.
Gives him 15. He's currently tied with Cena right now, right? Or he will tie himself with Cena.
I think it will tie.
I thought Cena had 16. I thought Cena was tied with Flair.
No, nobody's tied with Flair.
Okay, it'll tie Orton with Cena.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, you look at the list of people that Roman has defeated. It's like a who's who of wrestling. Jey Uso, Braun Strowman, Kevin Owens, Daniel Bryan, Cesaro, Edge, Rey Mysterio, John Cena. Just naming a few. You know, he's beaten Goldberg. He's beaten Brock Lesnar. The two people who are what's the term I'm looking for here? The two people who are feature wrestlers and not full-time wrestlers. Attraction talent. That's the word I was looking for.
Part-timers.
Say what you want. Brock Lesnar is box office money. So in box office,
I'm not disputing that.
He is. As much as I'm not a huge fan of his work. Yeah, I mean, he is money.
He's beaten all these names that could potentially that could have potentially taken the title. Randy Orton is a good name to drop. He has not faced Randy Orton during this title reign.
Nope.
And that's really the only main eventer in the company right now that he hasn't faced other than Cody.
Well, Seth Rollins, and it was like a DQ, was it not?
It was a schmoz finish. Yeah, it was a DQ.
This is exciting. There's so many possibilities, and I guarantee you, after we walk out of WrestleMania, there's going to be some percentage of the fan base pissed off about something.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
All the time.
But I want Roman to win because I feel they're so far into this. He's almost got to pass. Is Pedro Morales the next guy to pass? It's like he's got to pass at least another guy, right?
I believe it's Pedro. I'm actually pulling up Wiki right now.
So then if Roman wins, do you have Randy chase it for a whole year? I mean, you would want to make it special when he wins it, obviously.
I would want to make it special when Cody wins it. And to me, Cody's had what, 5 matches? It just to me it won't feel special when he beats Roman. And I like Cody. I like the story. It'll complete a story arc for him. But it means more to me if a Jey Uso beats him. if a Randy Orton beats him and becomes a 15-time champion, something like that. I don't know. I don't think they thought this Sammy thing would take off like it did, right, fellas?
No.
And this Sammy thing is out of this world, and now they've got a wildfire to deal with. I just hope it's two different matches. I don't want a triple threat.
That's why I would love to see Sami Zayn come away with a title here, because I told my wife, you know, it feels almost like a Daniel Bryan situation where the crowd swell is just so enormous and so underground and so in your face. Like it's almost like they can't turn away from it. You know what I mean? But I think WWE is going to do the cheap way out and give them the tag titles. And it's not going to, I don't think it'll mean as much.
Yeah, you're right. I think the fans will see through that. I really do.
As of right now, Roman is 118 days away from tying Pedro Morales' title reign.
Okay.
So 119 days, he beats it.
4 months. So right now we're in March. So that'd be what, July?
Yeah. July, so Money in the Bank is what we're looking at. It's rumored
he won't be at Money in the Bank.
So we'd wait till SummerSlam in August.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. No. It wouldn't be at Money in the Bank. It would be at SummerSlam, one of the big four.
Okay.
Maybe you're right, Nick. Maybe Cody doesn't win and chases Roman for the next few months.
I know this is completely off topic. Well, I mean, not really, but if Cody...
You better be careful what you say here. You know, this is not
if Cody does fall short of winning the title, what do you do with Cody after this?
Well, he's got to be the workhorseman. He's got to be on Raw every week. You know, putting on the best match each week, holding that U.S. title, getting in the U.S. title. If they don't divide the titles, he's got to be the number one guy on Raw if he doesn't have the belt.
Yeah, right. I agree. And the other side of that is if he doesn't win the belt from Roman, he's got to lose strong.
Yeah, I mean, in Roman might not – I mean, I could see Cody pinning Sammy if this was a triple threat. And then Roman going completely ape.
Yeah, I think that is definitely going to happen. If there is a triple threat, no, Roman's not getting pinned.
No, I agree. It makes – but that's the thing. If it ends up like that and you've got Sammy getting pinned, that makes Sammy look weak while making the other two look strong. Where does that put Sammy, who has solidified himself as a main eventer?
Oh,
if he gets the pin, should there be a triple threat?
See, there you go. Who's going to – there you go.
And I think if you don't have Cody win, then this whole buildup from the Rumble – has been for nothing, in my opinion, just because, you know, if you don't give it to Cody, then
hey, they didn't give it to Edge 2 years ago.
That's true.
I mean, I think we all agree we don't want a triple threat, correct?
Correct.
Stripes.
I wouldn't be against it.
Okay. If I could have them in separate singles matches, I would. I would rather have that.
Here's the thing. I think we can all agree that they've booked themselves into a corner at this point. Correct. Oh,
yeah.
I mean, I think no matter what happens between now and the end of night two of WrestleMania, they are damned if they do, and they are damned if they don't.
Yep. I agree. And that's where, like you said, they've booked themselves into a corner.
Yeah. Let's take one more quick timeout, gentlemen, and we'll be right back.
Part of the Four Frequency Sake Podcast Network. You're listening to Card Subject to Change with the fabulous Freebirds of podcasting, Chris Stripes Angle, the Honorable Nick Bull, and the Wizard CZ, bringing you the best podcast wrestling action in the Quad Cities. Thank you for listening, and be sure to check out the FourFrequencySake.com for our archives and other great podcasting content.
We are back with the Card Subject to Change podcast. I am the Wizard CZ. With me, as always, my Freebird partners, Nick Bull, the Honorable One, and Chris Stripes Angle. We're talking all things Bloodline and beyond.
Yeah.
We're even talking a little LA Knight. Yeah, let me talk to you.
Yeah.
So let's kind of backtrack. Let's spin this on its ear a little bit here. If Tony Khan had been booking all of this, we wouldn't be having this conversation, because Drew McIntyre would have won the titles at Clash at the Castle.
In a Texas death match, last man standing.
Yes. With lots of blood.
No, I'm really intrigued by this. Even though they've written themselves in a corner, we've kind of picked it apart here for the better part of an hour or so. It's given us some good fodder, some good content. This Mania, I mean, just think of all the eyes that are going to be on it, not just the Roman Reigns storyline, the Bloodline thing. I mean, I'm just thinking about the Seth Rollins, Logan Paul thing alone and how many eyes are going to be on that. That's probably night one, right? We don't know for sure, but almost would have to be. I mean, you've got two tremendous women's titles matches on the card already. There's a lot of the unknown. There's rumors of Finn Balor and Edge and Hell in a Cell. Any way, shape, or form you look at it, fellas, we're in the midst of WrestleMania season. Yeah, and this one's gonna be fun.
Let's that's a great way to close out the show, Nick. Let's talk WrestleMania a little bit. Let's book ourselves a WrestleMania. So, obviously, you've talked about the two women's matches. Bianca Belair is taking on Asuka. I think that's going to be a match of the ages for the women. And I honestly see Asuka walking out of that one as champion. She's got a lot of momentum. Triple H seems to be bringing her back to her roots that she started at in NXT. What do you think, Nick?
I think this is like the repackaging for Asuka. Hey, we're going to do this and see how it goes. And so far, she's got the crowd behind her, but she's facing a stiff test. And Bianca, this might be Bianca's stiffest test yet, with facing Asuka. I love the trajectory, how she is right now with the crowd and what she's doing in the ring. It makes you wonder if Bianca's going to take some time off. Are they really going to put the belt on Asuka? We'll see. But both of these women's matches, with we just talked about there with Asuka and Bianca, and then on the other side you've got Charlotte and Rhea Ripley.
And is this a redemption story for Rhea from a few years ago when she called out Charlotte out of NXT and Charlotte put her in her place?
Yeah, dropped the NXT belt to her. So to Charlotte, so one time Charlotte was in NXT. Yeah. It could be the redemption story for Rhea as well. I mean, she's the hottest thing going right now in WWE. Outside of Sami Zayn, right? I mean, she's it. So you got those two marquee matchups for on the women's side, and there's so many more matches that haven't been named yet. I mean, there's a good buzz going into this WrestleMania season, fellas.
Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong, but wouldn't be Asuka's first win for a WWE champion?
Because no,
she got, I know she got handed the title from Becky.
Nah, she won Money in the Bank.
Did she win Money in the Bank also?
She won Money in the Bank,
which was announced that Becky was pregnant, and that meant it was for the title.
Yeah,
right. But
yeah,
she's never officially like won it, right?
She's a Grand Slam champion.
Is she?
She's never had that WrestleMania win.
That
I'm yeah, that's terrible. Very true. But NXT, she's had the NXT title. She's had the tag titles, the Raw title, and I'm pretty sure she's had the SmackDown title too. Am I wrong, Nick?
You know, she's had them all. She's the first. She's a Grand Slam winner. She's the only female to win the Rumble, the Chamber, and Money in the Bank. And hopefully she gets a WrestleMania win this year. Nothing. I'm not against Bianca or anything, but I really like Asuka from the get-go. And
oh, yeah.
I was pissed off when she got screwed out of a win last time, and I'm hoping they make it better this time.
And, you know, we've got so many other things that are rumored, like you mentioned, Finn Balor and Edge in a Hell in a Cell or a Steel Cage match. What about Dom and Rey? That's been rumored for a while. Is Rey going to finally put his son in his place?
I personally think that will be Rey's last match. I think we're going to see Rey Mysterio retire after this. I'm gonna put it out there. I really.
Okay. Yeah, I'm hearing rumblings about this one, fellas, and this is a head scratcher. Brock Lesnar and Omos.
Oh, they've already I've put that out there. That's gonna be terrible. I'm just gonna tell you right now.
Listen. It won't be Bray Wyatt, Randy Orton, terrible. Night two.
No, it'll be worse.
Okay.
It'll be worse.
So this what you're is, saying, this is where, to steal a line from JR, it's going to be bowling shoe ugly.
This is where the WWE messed up, because I think if they did Bray versus Brock, and if they would have done Omos versus Bobby Lashley, I think that would have been a better decision, for the simple fact. Yeah, come on, Omos, and
I see where you're coming.
Hey, you watch. We're going to be on here talking about how much fun we had during that match. You watch.
I see where you're coming from, Stripes. But let me counter that. The rumor that I've heard, it's not just Bray versus Bobby Lashley. It's going to be the Wyatt Six versus the Hurt Business.
Okay.
That's just rumor and speculation. And that can make it a better match than what you would think of just Bray and Bobby.
I don't know how I would feel about that, because we are what? What is it? 39 days away, maybe? Maybe I'm wrong.
Five weeks from yesterday.
So we're 5 weeks away from WrestleMania. You have 5 weeks to introduce all of the Wyatt Six. I mean, granted, yes, we know the Wyatt Six possibly would be, you know, Ramblin' Rabbit, Huskus, you know, the Witch.
I think you know all the characters already. I think you've seen all the wrestlers that are in the Wyatt Six. They just haven't all officially joined yet.
But you have that. Then again, it's 5 weeks, and you have to shoehorn all that in.
I know.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I just think it would have been easier to put Bobby and Omos and Brock and Bray.
Do you want to book a Baron Corbin match instead?
Oh my God. Let's not think about that. Jesus.
I've randomly, I'm not joking you. I could snap a picture and send it if you don't believe me. I've got SummerSlam 2022 on here in the studio. Baron Corbin versus Pat McAfee right now. All I can think about is, I bet Strike wishes he was here watching this.
All I can think about when you say that particular match is bum ass Corbin.
Oh my gosh. The only thing I think about that is when Pat McAfee came out to the White Stripes. That was good. But and that's the thing. What do we do with Baron Corbin? Is he even going to be on Mania?
A WrestleMania match.
Good. He does not deserve one.
He'll probably be in the Andre the Giant pre-show.
Oh, jeez. Does he win it for a third time now?
Whoa.
They should make him like the R-Truth of that.
The He just comes out with the trophy every show. Like all right, I'm ready.
He's 48 time 24/7 champion.
48 time Andre the Giant. Jesus. Oh wow. Man.
So I want to switch gears a little bit here. I can't think of anybody off the top of my head on the spot. I know I had some picks, but I want to hear your guys' thoughts. You know, we're going into WrestleMania season. That also means the Hall of Fame. They haven't announced anybody yet, but who goes in this year?
Oh, man. Where are we at again?
Well, is Vince have final say?
Yes, he does.
Are you sure?
I would say Demolition needs to go in, but that probably won't happen.
Demolition is the top of my list.
I would put Batista in. Especially going off his recent movie, and he's got a big movie coming out Memorial Day weekend with Guardians of the Galaxy, multiple time former champion, kind of exploded after wrestling too. I don't have a problem with Batista in. I just don't know who else they're going to put in.
You picked the top two on my list, Nick.
I think maybe, you know, since we are in LA, I think maybe instead of Batista, maybe The Rock. That could also be.
Isn't The Rock in?
No.
No.
No, he is not.
No. Uh-uh. And I mean that would make sense too. You know, it's Hollywood.
Oh God, yeah.
Gentlemen, I just want to throw this out there for the celebrity wing. It absolutely 100% has to be Kevin Federline.
Golly. Golly.
No, no, no. No, no, no
just
no,
put Drew Carey in there again.
Yeah. Oh,
oh,
man.
Oh, my God.
I couldn't help myself. I'm sorry. That was wrong. That was like
the main event. Didn't he fight Cena in the main event on a Raw one night? Oh.
Yes.
Okay. What about this? What about this is another rumored entrant. What about Psycho Sid Justice?
Okay.
I'm fine with that. I don't have a problem.
I'm more
there.
Than fine with that.
I'm okay just with that.
Just as long as we don't see the pay-per-view clip of his leg snapping in two, and then Scott Steiner hooking the leg that's dangling like a chicken wing for the three. Oh.
Yep. Another one that's rumored is Umaga.
I'm very.
I can see that.
Yep. Or as William Regal would say, Umanga.
Michelle McCool is another rumored entrant.
Ooh, yes.
I can see that. Maybe having the under. Yeah, maybe having the Undertaker induct her. Maybe.
Yeah. I could get behind that.
Michelle, go to hell.
Go to rest hell
in
peace.
Rest in the Hall of Fame. Yeah, I don't know, man.
There's a lot of good possibilities.
There are. I would really like to see the demos go in, but I don't think it's going to happen.
If Trips is in charge, it might.
It might.
I would like to see Lanny Poffo. I don't think it'll happen, but
no, I don't think it'll happen. But I agree. He would make a good.
I think there's some bad blood on that behalf. I'm not sure what it is about it, but I do think I overheard something, you know, that is maybe, you know. Here's another one that's rumored. Someone that just possibly that just retired, the Great Muda. That could be
He would be a really good entrant. I mean, his time in WCW especially.
Maybe they are going to put him in since, you know, they sent Shinsuke over there for a retirement match type of deal. Maybe they will.
And that's what I'm reading right here. It says they and maybe induct him as a trade off for sending Shinsuke over there.
Yep.
That could be that's very highly likely.
Which, you know, speaking of Shinsuke, when is he scheduled to be back? Yeah. He had the match with Muda and then
good question.
I haven't heard anything.
You know what? I don't know.
You know, I'll bring up, this is a great point that Nick earlier in the week asked us both in our text thread, you know, who's had the biggest influence from Japanese wrestlers. I'm not ashamed. I picked Muda. You picked Jushin Thunder Liger, Stripes, and Nick threw out Asuka. I'd be amiss to not add Shinsuke at least a little bit to that list, although he hasn't done as much as I think he should have done since coming to America and coming into the WWE. I really believe that when he won the Rumble, he should have taken the title off of AJ Styles instead of the ridiculous kick to the groin heel gimmick that they stuck him with coming out of WrestleMania.
That was so terrible.
Thank you,
he definitely deserved a lot better than what he got in that run.
I agree.
And maybe now with Triple H in charge, maybe he'll get his due like hopefully they're doing with Asuka. You know, I think that would be amazing. Has there been a Japanese WWE champion? I don't believe so.
No, there has not.
No, not to there my best not. Of knowledge.
So, yeah, that's what I would do. Have him come back. Have him come back super strong. He has always been really over with the crowd. You know, give him his due.
That's the wonderful thing about WrestleMania season, fellas, is, you know, it wipes the board clean and we get a fresh round of storylines, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on. Yeah. When all else fails.
Let me talk to you.
Will LA Knight be on the card? Will he be on the card? I hope so. Yeah.
I sure hope so.
I think he will be. What we did not talk about. I know we're trying to wind up, but I know what we did not talk about tonight. What do you guys? I know my idea, but what do you guys think? This big announcement that Miz is having that Maurice gave him. I think it's obvious, but I want to hear you guys' take.
It's obvious, you think?
Yeah, I think it's obvious. I think it's very obvious. WrestleMania
in Hollywood. They're gonna host WrestleMania.
Yep. That's exactly what I think too.
Okay.
I can't see any other place for him on the card right now with the way the storylines are going. So that makes the most sense to me.
If it's something other than that, I mean, I think it's gonna be
the only other thing that I thought about is maybe it's his WrestleMania opponent that Maurice was able to line up. But I think you're more on par, Stripes, with it being them hosting WrestleMania.
Okay, so if she did line up a WWE opponent for WrestleMania, who do you guys got?
oh, you're going to love this. Returning Tommaso Ciampa.
Oh.
You guys are going to love this. A returning Alex Riley.
Oh, yes.
No. What if?
I don't know. I thought you guys would like that. That's a good question. That's a good question.
What if she lines up Tommaso Ciampa, but is somehow switched by help me out creepy Johnny guy that's stares. No creepy
Dexter
guy that's
Loomis.
Dexter Loomis.
that somehow it gets mixed
up and that would be the opponent. I could get behind that.
I'd be okay with that. Dexter Lumis's first WrestleMania.
Yeah, but I do think he's going to be the host, and it makes the most sense. It does
right now. Otherwise, he probably won't have a match on the card.
So let me throw out a couple of other names that we don't have matches for, and let me ask you guys where you see him going. Johnny Gargano.
Not there.
Not there? He's not going to have his first WrestleMania?
Nope.
I don't think
only if it's not there.
Ugh. You're killing me, Stripes.
No, I don't
unfortunately,
think he's there. Unfortunately,
I like Franz. Okay, no, hold on. Back the train up. They're both there. Andre the Giant Memorial Cup.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're probably correct. Yep.
Yeah.
That just came to mind. Yeah. So.
Yeah. You know,
these two have been prominently featured on TV. It just seems a shame for them not to be on the card at WrestleMania. Especially Gargano. Gargano has been very, very upfront on Monday Night Raw, whether it's been with The Miz, whether it's been building up and him getting into the Elimination Chamber. You know, you've got to think that Gargano and Bronson both should have a spot on Mania, maybe against each other.
I think they deserve it, but will they get it? I don't know.
Here's what I know.
We don't know.
Nick has turned me on to FTR.
He did.
Dax Harwood's podcast. Settle down there, Stripes. We're not talking about that.
Wait a minute. This episode
of Card Subject to Change is brought to you by Blue Chew.
Just like every other podcast, we're going to talk about the uncomfortable conversation of getting and keeping a boner.
Oh my.
He's got a boner, and he's got a boner, and he's got a boner. That's a shout out to Merrick Brave, by the way, from an MCW show. Story behind that, my daughter was at that show. I was very appalled, but this was before Merrick matured a little bit. God love him. Merrick Brave, fantastic person. Now he's matured quite a bit, but even he admits back in the day he was not the greatest person in the world. And that I thought I'd share. That was a funny moment for me that I thought I'd share with now everybody who listens to the podcast, not just the two of you. I think there are a few people that deserve to be on the show that you're right. They're not going to be there unless they're in that Memorial Battle Royal. Which is just a shame, you know.
I think there's going to be a lot of people that we see regularly that are not going to be there. I mean, what, 13, 14 matches tops between the two nights?
And that's what's really sad. You've expanded it to two nights, and you've got people that are prominent on television that aren't going to have a match there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I know.
What do we think about the IC title? Obviously, Theory has the United States title. He doesn't need it for his rumored match against John Cena. But where do we see Gunther going?
Everything I've been hearing or seeing in writing is it going to be a triple threat match? He's going to defend against Drew, McIntyre, and Sheamus. So that'd be three big names in the match.
Does he drop the title in that match?
God, I hope not.
In my in my booking world, he does.
And that's what I was going to say.
Sheamus wins it and gets the Grand Slam. And then I have Mr. Gunther win Money in the Bank.
Ooh, okay. I like that.
Yeah, if he loses the IC title in that match, doesn't get pinned, keeping him strong, that just moves him right up into the main event picture.
Right, to exactly. Go to Money in the Bank.
They love him backstage. Money in the Bank is in England. I mean, I don't know. I think it just makes sense. That's kind of – so I do. I have him losing the belt at Mania, but it's gonna probably be right there with Logan Paul and Seth Rollins as you know, match of the weekend for WrestleMania or for WWE. After
banger, you gotta think after Clash banger.
You got to think Clash of the Castle, and you're adding Drew McIntyre.
Yeah.
Banger
yeah.
After banger after yeah. banger. Yeah.
And banger. The banger bros.
The banger bros.
Gentlemen, on that note, I think we should put a bow on this episode.
Yeah, we probably shouldn't say anymore. We didn't say anything too incriminating, I don't think.
No,
not yet.
2 weeks in a row, I didn't drop an F-bomb, so that's a good thing.
Hey, where does Montez Ford and the Street Profits end up on WrestleMania?
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Oh. I hope somewhere. But
there's a lot of people that aren't going to be on that card.
Ah, wow. Yeah, I can't think
They'll
of anything.
Find a way. That's why they have that Memorial Battle Royal, is that's Vince's maybe. Way of give everybody giving a payday back when he first started it.
Maybe some big tag team schmaz.
That could be.
Hey, it's fine. It's fine with me.
Multi-tag schmaz.
I want to get as many people on the show as possible. I know how it goes. It's the biggest show of the year, and you want to be on it. So,
oh yeah,
I want to see as many people on the show as possible, and we hope you do too. We want to see you following us or giving us some feedback on the show, fans out there, wherever you get your podcast, like, listen, subscribe, leave a rating, whatever you do, reach out to us on social media. We have IG.
Leave a rating, leave a review.
Absolutely. We're on IG, Facebook, and Twitter as our Subject to Change podcast pages. Reach out. You got questions, hit us up. I know there is a live show coming up this weekend, this coming weekend in Bluegrass, correct, Stripes?
Yes, SCW. Luck is for losers.
We'll hear all about that next week. And next week's big topic is going to be AEW's is it Revolution?
Revolution.
Yes, it is. We're talking about Revolution.
I know I'm sure looking forward to sitting through a 60-minute Iron Man match. I don't know about you guys.
That one and a Texas death match. So yeah, looking forward to it.
Should be a good topic to talk about. That is next Sunday, so we will be coming to you most likely next Monday, but we're going to iron out the details on that over the week. Thank you so much for tuning in if you tuned in live. Thank you for tuning in if you're listening on any of the podcast platforms. Like Nick said, leave a review, like, share, subscribe, tell your friends about us, and interact. We love hearing from our fans. So thank you again for tuning in. We will see you for AEW's Revolution next weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, boy.